As we celebrate our Independence Day coming up on Wednesday, we really wanted to honor our veterans today. So if you men or women have served in any branch of the armed services, or you're a police officer or first responder, whatever, we just want you to stand, and we want to honor you this morning and say thank you. Good. Excellent. Keep standing for a second. So, for the veteran, we want to say thank you for bravely doing what you were called to do so we can safely do what we're free to do. And just quoting Elmer Davis, he said, "This nation will remain the land of the free only as long as it is the home of the brave." So thank you, thank you, thank you for serving. We appreciate that. Yes. And I don't think, I think we're starting to get it, but I don't think we do enough to really honor our veterans, and we need to do better at that. So I just want to move this out of the way because I'm afraid I might knock it over. I'm a little clumsy. So, hey, Wednesday is the 4th of July, in case you didn't know about that. It's coming up quick. And that's the time when our nation celebrates its birth. We appreciate the qualities that really have made the United States the unique country that it is. I don't care where you go in the world. I haven't traveled much, but I haven't found any place that really matches up to where we live. And so we need to be thankful for that. So I don't know how you celebrate the holiday. People go to parades, concerts, barbecues, the beach, family and friends, fireworks. I don't know how you do it. The International Business Times tells us that on this Wednesday, on the 4th of July, there'll be over 150 million hot dogs eaten. Just to give you the scope of that, that's from Washington to L.A. five times. Where do all those hot dogs go? All right, and then they estimate that the American people spend about $200 million on fireworks. And I got to confess, I was at Phantom Fireworks in Pennsylvania a couple weeks ago, but that's just for my little guy. I could tell you some stories. He almost burned our backyard down last year with that. But hey, you know. It's the only day when you can, like, do something illegal and it's okay. I live in Selden, all right? And I don't know if you live in Selden. It actually started last night. Selden is crazy when it comes to fireworks. I mean, I don't have to go to Bald Hill. I can just put a chair out on the front lawn or on my back deck and just watch everything, you know? So it's kind of cool. But so there's an anticipation building for the holiday. If you're going to do any kind of shopping in the next few days, you're going to feel it. The minute you get out of your car and walk in the store, everybody's like busy trying to grab whatever they can and be prepared. So there's an excitement that comes along with that. And one thing that comes to mind when we celebrate Independence Day, and really what it's all about, it's all about freedom. And so I've titled the message this morning, Celebrate Freedom. And to be an American person is to be a free person. And I know that we could do better at this in our society, and I know there's other people that feel like we're not really free, but we are free. We're free every day. We live it. We're surrounded by it. We experience it daily in our lives. And to be an American is to be a free person. And so we have holidays like the 4th of July just to kind of celebrate that freedom that we do have. And as we look back in U.S. history, in the signing of the Declaration of Independence, we realized that it was a dangerous decision for those men that signed that. And if you kind of study out the lives of the 56 men who signed that declaration, you'll find out that they went through some personal and family hardships as a result of that. In fact, as John Williams signed it, he said, "Whether we live or die, sink or swim, succeed or fail, I stand behind the Declaration of Independence. And if God wills it, I'm ready to die in order that this country might experience freedom." And again, that's why we thank our veterans for just maintaining that and those that safeguard our freedoms every day. But it was this kind of patriotism that really inspired men to be willing to engage in battle with, at the time, which was at the time the most powerful nation in the world. So we may be citizens of the land of the free and home of the brave. I met Jim a number of years ago. I met him on a outreach at the church I was with that we were having. We did a feeding program on Saturdays and gave out grocery bags. And when I met Jim, he stood off to a distance for a long time. He never came, and took any food. We knew he was living in a sober house, didn't know his story. He'd say hello, but you wouldn't get much conversation out of him. And he kind of just watched us every week, week after week. I think he was checking us out to see if we were, that we really cared. And as time went on, we got to know him a little bit better. I know that at one point, we asked him, Jim, is there anything we can do for you? And he said, I really need a bike. I have no way to get around. And so one of the guys in the group got him a bike, fixed it up, and Jim was on his way. He had a nice little basket on the front, and so he could carry some of his stuff. And he started coming around a little bit, getting a little closer, engaging a little more conversation. We found something out about Jim. Jim had been incarcerated for 25 years for a murder. And so he had been released, and when you're released, you have to go back to the kind of neighborhood that you committed the crime in. So he ended up in Huntington, and for some reason, he couldn't find housing. He ended up in Patchogue. It was by no accident. I mean, it was by God's design that we'd meet him. But for 25 years of his life, he had been incarcerated in jail. The world had changed a whole lot since then. He was out of touch with what was going on in society. We'll come back to the story in a few minutes. Freedom is something that's really central to our faith, and Jim had a freedom now. But he didn't really feel like he was free. And to the world or those outside the church, freedom means the right to do as you please. It means doing your own thing, being your own boss, really looking after your own self-interest. And the Bible teaches us that this viewpoint or definition of freedom is not really freedom at all, because if we're living in sin, we're really in bondage. We think we're free, but we're really in bondage. And the Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that spiritually nobody is free. And this is where the playing field gets kind of level for all of us. And it says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of us in this room has sinned and fallen short. We've broken the law. We've become lawbreakers, God's law. And sin has a price that has to be paid. It's a debt that has to be paid. And it's actually one of those debts that we can't really do anything to repay it. I know sometimes if you fall into financial debt, you can work your way out. You can figure out a plan. You can put a plan in place and begin to pay it down and satisfy that debt. But when it comes to sin, there's nothing that we can do to satisfy that. And then it goes on to tell us in Romans 6:23, but the wages of sin is death. All right, and that death that's mentioned in that verse is a total separation from God. And, you know, sin distorts the way we think. It distorts our desires and the way that we behave. And so we've got this debt that we owe. The wages of that are death, which is separation from God. And yet there's wonderful news in the second part of that verse. And it says, but the gift of God is eternal life. So here I've got a debt that I can't pay, that I owe on, that there's no way I can get out of. But God says he gives us a gift of eternal life. There's a word in the New Testament, it's called redemption, and basically that's the clearing of the debt. It means to be set free. And so freedom comes with a price. Freedom is not free, and it costs Jesus Christ his very life, his death, was an exchange for my life and your life. It means that we've been bought with a price. Jesus came to redeem us, to set us free. And it cost God his son, and it cost Jesus his life. And as the writers and the signers of the Declaration of Independence were declaring their independence from England, they were also declaring their dependence upon God. In the second paragraph of the Declaration, it says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator with a certain unalienable rights. God is in the mix. They're showing their dependence on God. And Jesus said in John 8:32, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. See, the only thing that can bring real freedom in our lives is the truth. And Jesus goes on, later on in John, in chapter 14, verse 6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So we see that only real freedom is found in Christ. People go to, you know, self-help groups, or maybe they get involved in other things that they are hoping will bring freedom in their lives. But nothing brings freedom outside of Christ. And to those that are living in the bondage of sin, Jesus offers freedom. And Jesus makes a very inspirational claim when he says, I'm the truth. The truth and the truth will set you free. See, truth will set us free. And so consider for a moment the tremendous and incredible hope that we have that's expressed in that promise. Jesus declares freedom as a result of abiding in his truth. And freedom is not the lack of restraint that allows me to fulfill my selfish desires. Genuine freedom takes place when we walk in the truth of God's word. So God's word has truth in it. And as we learn to walk in that, we actually begin to experience freedom in our lives. The truth of God's word sets us free. It's important that we can only experience true freedom as we surrender to God's word and God's commands. Now, the freedom that God offers is a spiritual freedom. It's a freedom. It's not a freedom that's political or physical. It's a freedom that comes spiritually. It's interesting when you read through the book of Acts and numerous times as the New Testament church was beginning to form that there was tremendous opposition. And many times they found themselves jailed because of their beliefs. In chapter 12, we find Peter. Peter's in a situation where he's chained hand and foot. He's got two guards on each side of him. They got people watching him everywhere. The doors are locked, you know, and all of a sudden, an angel comes at night. This taps on him and says, get up. It's time to leave. Chains fall off. He gets up, and he walks out. All the gates were locked. They didn't even know he was gone until the morning. They went looking for him. He just disappeared. Now, the church was praying for him, and then he goes and knocks on the door, and they're like, They thought it was a ghost. They're like, well, this can't happen. You know, there's no way. God sets them free. And then chapter 16, Paul and Silas, it's kind of interesting that, you know, they find themselves in a real difficult spot for their faith, and they're beaten and they're jailed, and they're put in the inner jail. I mean, that's like the deep, dark spot of the jail. And they're all locked up. They got a garrison of soldiers around them. Same thing happens. There's an earthquake that takes place. Chains fall off, they're not bound anymore, and they basically are free to walk out. So it's not a physical or political freedom that God offers, but it's a spiritual one. And you can be free no matter where you are. That's why there's believers around this world that don't experience and know the freedoms that we know every day. Matter of fact, they know persecution because of their faith, yet inside, they're free. Paul was on the road to Damascus, and he found freedom. The prodigal son was in a pig pen. Peter was in a fishing boat. One woman was drawing water from a well. Another woman was caught in the act of adultery, and she found freedom. And what about that thief that was on the cross next to Jesus? Already convicted and tried, he found freedom that day in Jesus. So freedom can be wherever we are. And spiritual freedom is not dependent upon location. And Jesus sets us free from the past and our current failures and those things that have led us and contributed to our bondage. And I think that we're going to explore this a little bit deeper next Sunday as we do kind of a two-part series on freedom and really looking at the freedom that Christ has for us. Because I believe that there's people in the church that don't really know that they're free. They're still walking under judgment of or whatever of the past and failures. So sometimes in our life, we have to make some changes that help in the freedom process. If I'm in a relationship that's not healthy and good for me and not godly, then, you know, I've got to break that relationship if I really want to be free. Maybe there's some places that I need to stop going to maintain my freedom in my life. But the freedom that God offers is spiritual. And then the second thing is the freedom Jesus gives us purpose. As we trust Christ and are released from the chains and the restraints of the world and the things that we've been involved in, we become released to be everything that God has purposed us to be. I have an old upright piano in my house. I moved it in years ago. I don't know what's going to happen when it's time to move it out. I don't think I can move it anymore. It's heavy. But when my grandkids come over when they were younger, they'd go over and they'd just start banging on that piano and just having a bunch of fun, you know. Didn't sound that great. There was no kind of musical succession to it at all. Didn't last long, then they'd walk away. But what about taking that piano now and you got someone who's taken lessons, who knows how to read music, who can sit down and put a piece together? How different does that piano sound when that person's playing in comparison? And that's like, you know, that skilled musician is like free to play that instrument the way it was intended to be. And that's what God does in our life. When we experience the freedom that he has for us, we become purposeful in what we do. And we begin to walk in that. So Jesus' freedom gives us purpose. And then we know that we're created to walk in fellowship or relationship with God. And the freedom that Jesus gives us is the freedom to become the person and fulfill the purposes that he created us to be. True freedom is never freedom from responsibility. As a matter of fact, in some ways, we have to become more responsible than we were in the past. Galatians 5:13 says, "For you were called to freedom, brethren. Do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another." So the freedom that God brings in our life actually gives us opportunity to show love to other people. We're called to serve others, and that gives us purpose. And the verse 14 of that chapter in Galatians 5, it says, "The entire law is summed up in one single command, love your neighbor as yourself." And so being a servant of Jesus Christ involves service to others because we're a part of the body of Christ, and that's what we do. And the Bible says in John 8:36, "So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." President Abraham Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation on September 26, 1862. But it really didn't go into effect till January 1st of 1863. And what that said was that every slave living in the Confederacy was legally free. But until they knew of their freedom, the legal fact had no impact on their lives. And so what the Union soldiers were doing is they were carrying hundreds of thousands of copies of the proclamation and handing them out as they went through the South. And because they didn't know they were free, and I'm sure the plantation owners weren't going to tell them they were free, they still continued to operate and not have that freedom. But Christ has set us free from the power of sin. And we need to recognize that fact and begin to live by that. It's really important. And so, just going back to Jim for a minute. Now, Jim served 25 years for a crime that he committed. Never talked about it much at all. Don't know the details of what happened. Didn't really matter. But Jim was free, but he wasn't really free, you know? He didn't have the confinement of a prison cell anymore. He didn't have correctional officers telling him what to do and what time he was gonna do it, but he was free. But Jim never really experienced true freedom until he found Christ. And the moment Jim found Christ, he found true freedom. He was free from his past, free from the guilt and condemnation that he lived under for many years. And he was free from the fears and anxieties of the past. It's kind of interesting that Jim hadn't seen his mother for about 20 years. She had moved out to Seattle and he hadn't seen her, and he had begun to express a desire to see her with no means to do it. And so we decided as church, hey, let's send Jim on a trip. So we bought him a plane ticket, you know? Now, he had been on a plane and who knows how long. I don't know if he ever was on a plane. And I remember I had the privilege of taking him to the airport. And I tell you, I felt like I was with a little child. He was so nervous about, you know, what do I do? And, you know, where do I go? And how does this all work? And kind of led him through the process. And he went out and had a great visit with his mom. But he began to experience the freedoms that only Christ can give in a life. Jim was a guy who now stood on the sidelines before and watched us serve food, to now a guy that was involved in the food pantry. And so freedom comes as we become the person that God's created us to be. And I just want to say that Wednesday, when we celebrate the freedoms that we do have in this country, let's be reminded that Jesus paid a price for our spiritual freedom, and we can learn to walk in that. We're going to talk about that in a little more detail next week about what that really means. It's not free to do whatever we want, but it's free to be the person and experience the freedom that he's given us because Jesus paid a price for that freedom. And I just wonder if you're sitting there this morning, or maybe you're watching online, and you say, wow, I don't really know that freedom in my life. I'd like to know that. It's very simple because Jesus already paid for it. And it says it's a gift. Now, if I had a gift up here and I wrapped it up really nice, big bow on it, really pretty, and I said, this gift has got your name on it. It belongs to you. And you'd be like, oh, that's nice. Everybody likes to get a gift. I mean, let's be honest, right? I mean, we like gifts, don't we? And so I say to you, this gift is yours. And you're sitting there and you're going, wow, it looks so great. I mean, look, it's wrapped up so nice. And gee, I wonder what's in there. You'll never know until you come up and take possession of that gift and open it. And that's the same thing with salvation. It's free to us. It's offered to us. But we'll never know until we open our hearts and our lives up to receive that. So if you're sitting there this morning and you're saying, well, I'm not really sure I've made that step, that commitment, I just want to invite you to, hey, you know what? Today'd be a good day to do that. Today'd be a good day to do that. And as you celebrate our country's independence and freedom, you'll know freedom in your heart and your life that only Christ can give. I was so bound before I knew Christ. I was so bound in sin that I just, and I wanted to be free, you know? And I wondered what that was about. I looked at myself, I didn't like myself. You know, I didn't like the things I was doing, but I didn't know how to get out of it. But when I found Christ, he changed my life, and I began to experience and still experiencing the freedom that he brings. So let's just close in prayer today. And if you want to talk about it further, there's those of us that certainly would be willing to talk to you about it. And you know, the amazing thing about it is that we can take this freedom that we've been given ourselves, and we can actually offer it to other people. Let's pray together. Father God, this morning we thank you and praise you for your goodness and your faithfulness in our lives. We thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you for just you setting us free this morning. And God, I pray as we celebrate the great nation that we do live in, the freedom that we have, that we realize that you set us free spiritually, that the hold of sin doesn't have a hold of us anymore. It's been broken by your shed blood. So bless your people today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.